I need a mic. Thought you guys could hear me okay. But God is the one we cheer. God is the one we rally around. God is the one we give the victory to, and we give our voice to, and we announce our triumphs because he is so faithful and so good to us. Amen. Amen. So it is an honor and a blessing to be up here and bringing the word tonight. And so praise God. So thank you, Pastor. It is an honor and a blessing to do so. Do you want this on Facebook? I won't carry it. Okay, good. Because I really didn't want to be. So, praise God. Thank you, Lord. So I'm going to have to not catch you guys up, but lay a little bit of a foundation. I had kind of already been teaching back in the youth on faith. And so I had already kind of laid some things out, and I feel if I skip into the bottom side of it, that it's going to be like kind of, you know, like not really there because there wasn't a foundation laid. So I'm going to lay a little bit of a foundation, and then we'll get into a little bit of what it is. And I'm going to be talking about producing faith. Amen. Producing faith. Because faith is not just something that we simply have, although we do have faith. But faith must also be producing within our lives. And so we're going to be talking about producing faith. Amen? So praise the Lord. All right. Well, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And we lift up this message to you. We lift up the word to you. We thank you and we honor you. And we give place for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the teacher, that you will minister to each one individually exactly what they need to receive out of this word. And collectively as a body, that they'll receive as well as collectively, as a whole, as one unit, Father. And we thank you for that, and I just praise you, God. And I worship you with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my strength. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so I have to say one thing. You're still here. Okay, now I thought you were leaving Monday. Okay, I'm so messed up, but that's okay. Praise God, because I just started this message. You guys remember me coming in last week? I had just started, and I hadn't even gotten into it, and we were asked to come out here, and I'm like, all right, well, praise the Lord. So anyway, so I was asked to bring it tonight, so that's exciting, so that's fun. And but producing faith, so I would like to look at Hebrews 11, verse 1, and I have noticed, although I want you to put the scriptures up, I think it's just something I have to get used to doing. I feel like I lose my place quickly. It's funny. So Hebrews 11, verse 1. Oh, New King James. Thank you. And I usually always stay in New King James. Okay, praise the Lord. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'd like to jump down to verse 5, and you know what? I don't want to do that. I want to read it. Now, faith is the substance. I'm going to go all the way through 6. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen, all the things that we see, the world, the trees, everything, the rivers, the waters, the oceans, were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness. Are you okay? Okay. That he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he being dead, it still speaks. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken, so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must first believe that he is. And then the second thing, we must believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So you've got to believe one. Number one, the first thing you must believe that God is. He is. He is. And then we believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He pleased God. This pleases God. In all that we do, we've got to believe that he is for you, and that he will reward you because you're diligently seeking after the answer. You're diligently seeking the way he wants you to go, right? So this is faith. This is pleasing to God. And this is faith. This is faith. So Romans 12, verse 3 tells us that we've all received the measure of faith. For I say through the grace given to me, to every one who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one the measure of faith. So we've all been given the measure of faith, and what we do with the measure of faith is completely up to us. We can do whatever we want with it. And so I taught before that faith is like believing, knowing that if I drop this, it's going to fall to the ground, right? You guys all agree, right? If I drop this pin, it's going to go to the ground. When a three-year-old drops a pin or a two-year-old drops a pin, what do they do? And drop it again. They usually drop it again because they don't realize. They're like, huh. Oh, gee, I open my hand and look what happens. Things fall down. But they learned that that's what happens. They learned the law of gravity. They learned to have faith in the law of gravity by dropping a pin. So we need to learn to have faith in the law of liberty, in the law of the word, in the law of the promises. We have to learn it. But we don't learn it just because we sit and we hear and we hear and we hear and we hear. Now, yes, Romans 8:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Totally agree with that. I'm totally not coming against that at all. But if we sit and we just have faith, and we just hear and hear and hear and hear, and we never do anything with our faith. We never exercise our faith. We never drop, so to speak, our faith. Then it can't ever grow and produce, and we learn to trust in the promises of God. So we have to exercise our faith, and we have to start doing our faith. So we've all been given the measure of faith. So everybody has the same measure, but don't we all kind of function differently? Like, healing, I used to be really, really good, you know, like I was healed. Like that was my thing, right? But prosperity, not so good. You know, my bills, lack, and things like that were still hitting my life. But I had healing down. Healing was down. I learned how to receive healing. I learned how to meet God for my healing. These were things I practiced, things I learned to do. So my faith ended up producing healing in my life. So I had producing faith in healing. So a funny thing, just like yesterday or the day before, I wrote this down. This is funny. So the disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith in Luke 17:5. And I just want to preface that comment is all. Not that it was what was in front of it or behind it. It was the fact that they were still asking to increase their faith. And he went on to say, if you had faith as a mustard seed, right, then you would say to this mulberry tree, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in your heart, but believe with those things that you say, you shall have those things that you say. I think I missed that one. But anywho, so here's the interesting thing. The disciples spent 3 years with Jesus, right? Let's just say they spent 16 hours a day with Jesus, okay? Hearing from Jesus, right? That is 17,520 hours listening and hearing the word of God, right? And then throughout the miracles that we see, Peter even walking on water, and he's like, dude, where is your faith, right? And then the miracles of the 5,000 loaves, right? And the fish, or the 5,000 people, feeding the 5,000 people, right? And they were even speculating, what are we going to do with that? How are we going to fix that? How are we going to feed the people, right? And he's like, seriously, you guys, right? But 17,520 hours they spent. So now just for a comparison, in the 19 years that I have been saved, I have obtained 13,580 hours of hearing the word of God. So it's not the hearing. It's not just the hearing that does it. It is the doing the acting, the learning how to. If you don't step out and, you know, like a child beginning to walk, we've got to get out there. We have to step out. We have to do something. And we always do what we believe. If you believe something in your heart, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. I believe in tithing. I absolutely 100% believe in the tithe. And I exercise my faith by tithing. That is how I exercise it. And so in tithing, I continue to increase in my faith, in my wisdom, in my finances. Everything continues to increase in my life because of my faith and my doing of the tithing, right? Faith can also be seen. And I know that Paul walked up to the gate beautiful and saw the lame man and saw that he had faith to be healed. But that's not the faith that I'm talking about being seen. I'm talking about the faith of church attendance. Do we think church really affects our lives? Do we? Then that's why we're here, right? So I believe church attendance affects my life. Very much so, my spiritual life and as well as my natural life. So therefore, I attend church. So your faith is speaking to other people. They see your faith by what you do. If you sit home and you think that church is secondary to everything else, they're going to say, well, I guess that's what their faith is. That's how they see your faith. Church is not necessary. If they don't think it's necessary, then it must not be necessary. So they're going to judge faith by what we do. Okay, so what we do is super, super important in the community. How we reflect our faith and the things that we do for God is super important in the community. So our faith can be seen by others by what we do. Let's go to James chapter 2, verse 18. And I say that reluctantly because I think I want more than that. There we go. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. We show our faith. We build our faith by the works that we do. I didn't first start out tithing. I started out with offerings because I didn't understand tithing. I really didn't. I just didn't get it. And so I started with offerings. And that's where it began. And God meets you right where you're at. He's okay. But you have to keep hearing. We have to keep hearing the promises. We have to keep hearing the word so that we understand what we can believe God for or the things that we need to start doing in our lives to develop our faith, right? And it was kind of geared towards, you know, high school students. But your friends, your family, your relationships, the people you work with, they will recognize your faith. And I'll tell you what, the person that they follow is the person who is 100% sold out. You talked about idol or what is it, the followers on social media? Influencers. They follow influencers because influencers are 100% sold out. And if you want to influence the people in your community, if you want to influence your friends, if you want to influence the people that you work with, you have got to be 100% sold out because those are the people that they end up following. They watch you for a while. And if you're faltering, if you're unfaithful, if you're unstable in your faith, they just sit back and wait. They just sit back and wait. And they wait to see. But if you are the one who is steadfast and you're confident in your God and you're saying, I'm going to camp, I'm going to serve, I'm going to faith explosion, I'm doing all these miracles happen. And year after year after year after year, they hear of the miracles that are happening at Spirit Life Church because you keep talking about what's going on. That's how one of my friends got saved. One of my friends got saved. I mean, I worked with a motley crew over there in the casinos. You know, I was a poker supervisor and dealt poker for multiple years, and they all watched me go from sinner to saint. I mean, they watched unsaved to saved, and they ridiculed me, they harassed me, and I'm like, well, I don't know, I just love God, man. God just hit me. That's all I know. But until I was full bore, they weren't interested in coming, you know, until I was full bore. And then they walked in one night, I started crying. I'm like, you know, and I couldn't believe it. And they got saved. And I was just so, so happy for them. But it's up to us to have faith. It's up to us to continue to endeavor. It's up to us to show our faith by our works. So now, out of our heart, we only do what we truly believe. We won't do it. Like, if you believe that studying is going to help you pass your test, you're going to study. Are you not? Who believes that getting a job will earn an income? Okay, don't we all? Right? Okay. It's the same thing. If you believe God is for you, there is nothing God won't do for you. God is so for you. He is for everybody, and he meets you where you're at, and he will do anything for you. With God, all things are possible to him who believes. I believe God is for me, and therefore I believe all things are possible to me. All things are possible to me. And I continue to endeavor. I continue to love God. I continue to seek after him. I believe that daily journaling is very important. I daily journal because I know it builds me spiritually. It increases my faith to exercise it. Not just the hearing. Not just the hearing is the promises. Or we hear it to have faith. Like, you didn't know Jesus Christ was the Savior until you heard that Jesus Christ was the Savior, right? So you couldn't have had faith to believe unless you heard it preached. So we have to hear the word preached in order for us to believe in something, right? So we believe these things and we hear them. And then when we truly believe what's going on and or how to obtain it, then we start doing it. We absolutely start doing it. I watched my mother go from, she didn't have a house, she didn't have a car, she had a car, but it was like, oh my goodness. And no air conditioning, that's right. But she heard me. I was sold out. I was absolutely sold out. I'm like, you got to get out here. There's miracles happening. There are miracles happening. God is showing up. And God is real, and he has invaded my life. And I think it was like 3 years. But she had to hear it. She had to see it. She had to see me continue in it and do the things that I knew were faithfulness to God, that showed my fidelity, that showed my loyalty to God. And she watched it, and then finally she's like, I got to get out there, you know. And sure enough, she comes out. The first day she was saved, the second day set free from alcohol and filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. But we are the ones who have to start exercising our faith. We have to start implementing the promises of God. When Pastor tells us, meditate on the word, he's not kidding. He's not kidding. If it's going to benefit you, then you're going to do it. And I'm telling you, there is a benefit of meditating on the word. Let's go to Joshua 1:8. And I know Pastor speaks of this regularly. This book of the law, this Bible, this word shall not depart from your mouth, meaning it won't ever not be there. Okay, you'll always have a word in your mouth if you stay here. This book of the law shall not depart. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Always have something in your heart to come out of your mouth. Okay? But you shall meditate in it day and night. So meditate it. You're going to think about it. You're going to ponder it. You're going to consider it. You're going to apply it. You're going to do it. And you will see the fruit of it. Meditate in it day and night that you may observe, there we go, to do according to all that is written in it. So we meditate it day and night that we may observe to do according to all that is written in it. So we have to observe it so we can do all that is written in it. For then, when? When is then? After we observe and do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Amen. Amen. We have to produce our faith. Our faith has to be producing. It has to be producing. And, I'm doing okay. Good. So we want to produce our faith. We want to do what we believe. We always do what we believe. So you've got to trust God. He is. God is. And he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Diligently seeking is whatever the conviction is on your heart right now to diligently seek him. Okay? Whatever that conviction is, because my standard might be something different than your standard. God might have me do something else that, isn't necessarily something you need to do at this time. Okay? So it's between you and God. But you do have to do it. Church attendance is very important. Let me just clarify that. I don't want to put that one in the convictions of the heart. Church attendance is super, super crucial. Super, super crucial. Because you've got to hear it. Because when you keep hearing it, it begins to increase. And you can convince yourself something. You can totally convince yourself something. You can tell yourself you're awful, 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 stupid, stupid, stupid. You eventually believe that about yourself. If you look in the mirror and say, I'm so fat, I'm so fat, I'm so ugly, I'm so this, I'm so that, you eventually believe yourself. Why not tell yourself how God sees you? Why not? Get rid of the image that you see in the mirror and look in the image of the Word of God. Speak what God says over you. He is for you. He loves you. You're beautiful. You're amazing. You're smart. You're gifted. You're talented. You know what I'm saying? Everybody has giftings. Everybody has talents. They're just all different. Right? So start looking into this law of liberty and not forget what it says about you. Keep this as a reflection to build your image within your heart. Meditate in it. Ponder it. You'll begin to really think that that is exactly who you are. Because it is. It is who you are. You are everything God says that you are. You're not what media says. You're not what your friends say. You're not what the government says. You're not those. You're whatever God tells you and as much as you can believe it. Believe it. He is for you. He is always for you. Even in he's for us in our victories and our triumphs. He's for us in our defeats and our sorrows. Always. And he always thinks the best of you. Always. He always thinks the best of you. Isn't that crazy? But we don't even do that for ourselves. I shouldn't have done that. That was so dumb. Right? But he doesn't even do that to you. He doesn't. He never ridicules you. He's always just loving on you, saying, you got this. Come on. Let's do it again. So we need to be producing our faith. I had one more, and I went off on that, and I don't know where I was going. So let's wait just a second. So we will do what we believe that is within our heart, and the more we get the word in the hearing of the ear, the more it goes down into our heart, and then the more we will produce. I know where I was going. I am going to Mark 4. Thank you, Lord. And I'm going to end with this. Mark 4, verse 20. Is it 20? Something tells me it's not 20. Yes, it is. Okay. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So it says, but these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. But I'd like to tell you that 30 is still considered good ground. We get really disappointed in ourselves, don't we, when we don't hit the 100-fold. Don't we kick ourselves? I do. I have. Absolutely. Yeah. But you're still in good ground. You're still in good ground. Just keep producing. Take the 30. Thank you, Jesus. And keep on moving forward. Just keep on producing. Keep on producing. there's a scripture that talks about the mulberry tree and how it grows up and the branches become so large that even the birds of the air can come and lodge under those branches. And I said something one day, and Mike caught it. And I didn't even catch it until Mike was like, hey, that was really good. And then the Lord planted it in my heart, so to speak. But those branches are for those who don't have as much faith as us. And so the more branches and the bigger our branches get, the more people we can bring under our branches and help them and encourage them and strengthen them and give them a hope and a surety of a good end, because that is who our God is. So our faith should be producing. And even if it's a 30% production, it's still a production and it's still good fruit or still good ground. So take the 30. Don't be disappointed at the 30. And don't look at the person getting the 100, right? And be like, well, I wanted 100, like they got 100. Be happy with your 30 and thank the Lord for it and say, we're going to get it next time, God, and keep on going, right? You're going to continue to do what you believe, but produce your faith. You guys all have been dealt the measure. There's no more measure to be given. There is no, Lord, I just need more. No. He's like, okay, here you go. Bink. I'll take back the gift of faith. There is a gift of faith for ministry where all of a sudden you have an unction by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that's not what I'm referring to. Okay, I'm referring because there is that gift of faith, and that's for a time of a miracle. It's a time for whatever the Holy Spirit's doing. Okay, gift of faith. It's a gift. But for us just to sit here and say, just increase my faith so I can believe for this, and he's like, I gave you the measure. Do something with it. Make it produce. Make it produce. So produce your faith. Glory be to God. Thank you. God is
my thank you. Amen. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Amen. Real quick, y'all can turn over to Mark. Oh, your water and phone. Yes, ma'am. Mark 11, please. About verse 20. Excuse me. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from what? Y'all remember that picture? I put it up a few years ago. There's an actual fig tree restaurant. It seats over 300 people. It's a fig tree restaurant. I always thought of that he cursed a tree that was about this tall for some reason. That's what I think in my mind. But if he saw it from a great distance, it had to be big for him to see it. And there's a fig tree restaurant. Google it later when you get a chance. It's amazing, and it's huge. Anyways. But in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, right? Next, please. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Next. And Jesus answering said unto them, what?
Faith in God.
It'll work for you. All you got to do is just, you know, think it come to pass. You got to have faith in God. You got to speak your faith. You got to exercise your faith continually. Your faith ain't just going to work just because you think God knows everything you have need of. Obviously, he knows that, but you still got to speak it. You ought to go throughout the Bible and find out how many times it talks about Jesus telling you to say something, God telling you to say something. You'd be amazed. He might know what you need, but you still got to ask for it. You still got to speak it. He's not going to speak it for you, right? Amen. And with faith, we have to continually exercise it daily. That's how your faith grows, is by exercising. So I got a question. How many of y'all have your faith on something right now? How many of y'all had your faith on something last week? How many of y'all had your faith on something last month, last 6 months ago, last 8 months ago? Are we continually believing God for things so that our faith will grow? Just like a bodybuilder, he can go, you know what? I'm going to be a bodybuilder. I'm just going to eat right. He'll go competition and fail. Won't place? Why not? Because he's not doing anything with his muscles. He's doing absolutely nothing with his faith. So if I'm not exercising my faith, believing God for something, will it grow? Because that's how your faith grows. I know you get faith from the Word of God, whatever, not just from the Word of God. It's whatever you can believe God. See, you can read the Word of God and go, I don't believe He wants me to be prosperous. You can't have faith for it then, because you obviously don't believe it. You could read it, but just because you read it doesn't mean you have faith. Amen. You got to continually exercise your faith. Continually exercise your faith. It was George Muller had an orphanage over in Bristol, England, I believe it was. And he said, after exercising my faith daily, he said, I can believe God for $1 million as easily as I could for $1 when I first started. Amen. Are we believing God for something now? Are we continually growing our faith? And is it growing? Is it growing? Is it producing? Or am I believing God for something? It doesn't come to pass when I think it should. And now I go, I'll believe for something else. You gotta stay with it, right? Faith stands at all cost. At all cost. I just wanted to throw that out there, the Mark 11 thing real fast. Amen. Faith stands at all costs, and faith answers every symptom and every doubt now. Faith will answer it. Amen. Turn over to Acts 19 real fast, please. Where's my phone? I found it. Faith 19, that's not a book, sorry. Acts 19, go to verse 12. Yeah, verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by what? Amen. Next. So that. From what? We're brought unto the what? What we're brought. And what happened? And what else? From handkerchiefs, sorry, go back. From handkerchiefs and aprons? So you're telling me the anointing saturated an handkerchief or an apron? And they took it to a sick person and it healed them? Yes. Did the handkerchief do it?
No.
What did it? The anointing, right? It's the anointing. The anointing saturated that handkerchief, because the woman with the issue of blood, did she touch Jesus himself?
No.
What'd she touch? The hem. So that lets us know that the anointing can reside in things, right? Amen. So Nina is in the hospital. She's having some tests done. So we're going to pray over this handkerchief. Amen. As a congregation. Amen. And then we're going to take it to her. So y'all stretch forth your hands, please. So Father God.